John Edgar Wideman is the prolific author of over 10 novels, two of them awarded the Penn Faulkner Award for Fiction. He's also written nonfiction books, including the acclaimed memoir Brothers and Keepers, about his relationship with his brother Robbie, who's serving a life sentence for murder. In his new novel, Fanon, Wideman attempts to chronicle the life of activist and writer Frantz Fanon, who, while also working in snippets of his own biography as well as a meditation on post-9/11 America. Book critic Maureen Corrigan tells us how this literary mishmash turned out.
I know it's easy for me to say, but if anybody ever needed to internalize the Nike slogan of just do it, it's John Edgar Wideman. Wideman's latest novel, his first in 10 years, is called Fanon. It's a novel about the life of the writer, psychiatrist, and revolutionary thinker Frantz Fanon, which is a terrific idea, since Fanon, through his political activism and his books, Black Skin, White Masks, and The Wretched of the Earth, helped fuel colonial liberation movements throughout the so-called Third World. Except Wideman's novel turns out not to be a novel about Fanon, but rather a novel about Wideman's attempt to write a novel about Fanon. This is the point at which I'm obligated to say the word that sends many a faint-hearted reader scuttling under the covers of non-demanding chick lit or mystery novels: postmodernist. Indeed, Wideman's Fanon is a postmodernist novel, a self-aware hodgepodge of biography, fiction, memoir, history, and in this case, self-indulgence. In the hands of the right writer, the by now old hat postmodernist technique opens out possibilities for fiction and can be enormously entertaining. Wideman's Fanon, however, is like a parody of a postmodernist novel. Passages like these, which compose the bulk of Fanon, give bourgeoisie foes of postmodernism plenty of ammunition. Are stories more than words? Asks Wideman's fictional alter ego, a writer named Thomas, who's suffering from writer's block. He goes on, since stories, whatever else they may or may not be, are composed of words, let's ratchet back and begin with a more fundamental question. Are words more than words? If we're able to answer this question, then perhaps we can go forward, or back, if you will, and examine stories as a particular case of words governed by the logic or illogic we uncover after we determine whether or not words are more than words. A few chapters' worth of this kind of navel-gazing riff makes even the most sophisticated, sympathetic reader want to shout out, "Enough already! I'll write the novel for you." Somebody should. Fanon is an extraordinary figure. Born on the island of Martinique in 1925, as a young man he smuggled himself over to France to fight with Allied forces against Nazi Germany. Afterwards, he studied psychiatry in France and worked with victims of French torture in Algeria. Fanon actively supported violent resistance to colonialism, and consequently, his writing has relevance to the topic of terrorism today, a connection Wideman suggests by conjuring up a scene where his alter ego Thomas, who lives in post-9/11 New York, receives a package containing a severed head and a quote from Fanon. The head and its significance remain disconnected from the rest of this fragmented narrative. Wideman acknowledges the recent biography of Fanon by David Macy that was published 8 years ago. That's no doubt a much better place for readers interested in Fanon's life and thought to begin. Perhaps this is the novel Wideman wanted to write about Fanon. Perhaps Wideman would say that all his self-conscious dithering about words gestures to Fanon's own writing about language, and especially the way language can serve as a tool of oppression. But Fanon the novel mostly strikes me as a literary failure to commit. The best sections here are where Wideman drops his pose as the tormented writer and throws himself into the familiar category of memoir. He describes visiting his aged mother in Pittsburgh and his brother in jail. At one point, Wideman quotes his brother criticizing his writing. the cleaned-up version of what Weidman's brother says is this: I don't know why you keep beating yourself up trying to write intelligent stuff. Even if you write something deep, you think anybody wants to hear it? When I think about it, big bro, I give you credit for being an intelligent guy. But you know, I got to wonder if writing an intelligent book's an intelligent idea. That's a revealing comment Weidman has made in his brother's voice, because the hollow defense of the writer who knows he or she hasn't done his or her best work and is anxious about readers' reception is that the book is too smart to be appreciated. Fanon isn't too smart. We readers get it. Regrettably, there just isn't that much here to get.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed Fanon by John Edgar Weidman.